Okay, everybody doing okay today? Amen. All right, we're going to dig into the Word of God a little bit. And how many here can stand some good news? Amen. Some good news from the Word of God? Amen. All right, okay. Well, we're going to talk today about conquering your mountain. Conquering your mountain, going to the top of the mountain that is facing your life today. And last week we celebrated Easter. And we're going to kind of continue the resurrection message today in conjunction with this little sermon called Conquering Your Mountain. Now, we as believers in Jesus Christ know what the true season for the Easter the true reason for the Easter season is all about, right? What is the reason for the Easter season? It's the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave 2,000 years ago. And people in the world, non-believers, have different ideas of what Easter is all about. They kind of think it's about just hanging out with friends, getting some rest, you know, bunnies, eggs, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is celebrating Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And friend, you may be facing a mountain in your life today. Some type of obstacle, insurmountable obstacle. Maybe it's physical illness. Maybe it's emotional depression. Maybe it's relational problems. Or maybe your mountain is a mountain of addiction. Maybe you're addicted to drugs or alcohol. I'm here to tell you today, with the help of God, you can conquer the mountain facing you today. Don't let that mountain stand over you and intimidate you. With God's help, with God's grace, you can climb it and stand over it. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Well, how many here remember Lazarus? John chapter 11. Before Jesus was crucified in Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, he predicted to his disciples that he'd be crucified. And 3 days later, he would rise again. We find in John chapter 11 the account of Lazarus. And in Lazarus' life, he had died. He was from Bethany. And it was told to Jesus, Lazarus has died. And it says in the scripture in John 11 that Jesus stayed where he was. And then Jesus shows up in Bethany. And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, runs to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus says something very key in verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. What does that mean? That means that whoever has Jesus as Savior and Lord, even though they die physically on this earth, their spirit will live on forever and ever eternally in heaven. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. You read further on in John chapter 11, Mary runs to Jesus. She's in sorrow. And basically, Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. He was stinking a little bit. And he cries out to Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead body came back to life, and everybody was overjoyed. Amen? That's because the resurrection and the life was present. And friend, Jesus Christ is still the resurrection and the life. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that he never changes. And there may be a death situation in your life, friend. Jesus Christ is going to speak life into that situation. Amen? Are you believing it?
Yes.
He is the miracle-working God. Let's talk for the next few minutes about the power of the resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul the apostle is writing to the Ephesian Christians. He says in verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, meaning eternal life. Verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He describes this power. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Believe what? Power for us who believe what? Believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, this power is at your fingertips. Now, this word power from the original language is dunamis. What does dunamis mean? Dunamis is miraculous power. It's where we get the English word dynamite from. Dynamite is a powerful explosive. Would you agree? What is dynamite used for?
Blowing.
All right, it's used for mining, right? It's used in stone quarries where they take large chunks of rock and they break them into smaller pieces with dynamite. Dynamite is explosive, it's powerful, and basically says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, this power can work through your life. What is he trying to say in Ephesians 1, 18 through 20? What is he saying? What is Paul the Apostle saying? He's saying the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago is available to you and to me as believers in Jesus Christ. I think the resurrection of Christ from the dead is probably the most amazing miracle in all the ages. Would you agree? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same miraculous dunamis power is accessible, available to you and to me as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, there is a switch that causes this power to flow through our lives. You know, at night, this room is dark, right? The blinds are shut. The lights are off. But if you want this place to be lit up, what do you do? You go to the back wall there and you turn the switches upwards, right? What does turning the switch upward do? It causes the power to flow and the lights to come on. Amen? What causes the dunamis power of God to flow through your life? Let's talk about it. Mark chapter 11. Jesus does a miracle. Mark chapter 11. Verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. So he spoke to the fig tree. If you jump to verse 20 of Mark 11, it says this, "In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots." Peter has this revelation, verse 21. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." How many would say that dunamis power, miraculous power was flowing through Jesus when he spoke to the fig tree and withered it? He spoke to the fig tree. He said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And it withered. That took dunamis power. It took miraculous power from God. Would you agree it was flowing through Jesus? In Mark chapter 11, what caused it to flow through Jesus? What was the switch that caused that power to flow? Think about it. What is the switch that causes the dunamis, miraculous working power of God to flow through our lives as believers? Good. He said it. Jesus says it in the next verse, verse 22 of Mark 11. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Verse 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Faith is the switch which causes the power to flow. What is faith? What is faith? Hope for the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a... Okay, faith is a knowing that you know on the inside that God is able to perform in your life what He has promised you. It's a knowing that you know in your knower that God is able to do for your life what His Word says He can do for your life. That's what faith is. And it's the switch that turns and causes the power of God to flow through you. Amen? What mountain is standing in your way? Jesus said it. He said, if you have faith, I tell you, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move if you don't doubt. What mountain is facing you? Addiction? Depression? Sickness? Broken relationships? By faith in God, it can be fixed. Amen? Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Let's look at another account. Remember the woman who bled for 12 years. How many know about that woman? Mark 5, verse 25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Verse 29 of Mark 5. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, His disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, and trembling with fear, told Him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This was a different type of touch. The disciples said, Jesus, there's people crowding around you, bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched you? But this woman's touch was a different type of touch. Why? She touched them with what type of touch? The touch of faith. And when she did that, she caused power to flow through Jesus. And her bleeding immediately stopped. The song that says, turn the switch of faith on. When you turn the switch of faith on in your life, it causes the miracle working power of God to flow through you for the conquering of your mountain and for the conquering of mountains in other people's lives that you may know. There is power in faith. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. The two blind men. The two blind men. Matthew 9, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. When they turned on their faith, it caused the power of God to move through their lives, and their mountain of blindness was conquered. Their sight was restored. If God did it for them, He can do it for you today. God is no respecter of persons. What does the Word of God say in Hebrews 11:6? What is the one thing that pleases God? Faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith pleases God. What kind of faith is God looking for in us? What kind of faith? Just a small amount of faith. Anybody else? He's looking for childlike faith. Doubtless faith. God is looking for a faith that does not doubt His power. You know, the little 3-year-old girl who loves her dad. And her dad loves her, right? Dad comes home from work. He knocks on the door. She runs to the door. She runs into his arms. She knows that her dad loves her, right? She has complete trust and faith in her dad. He provides her shelter. He provides her bed. He provides her food. He provides her affection. She loves her dad. Her dad loves her. She doesn't doubt his goodness for one moment. She's got faith in her dad. Friend, that is the same kind of faith that God is looking for in you and me. He's looking for that childlike, doubtless faith, faith that does not doubt even for one moment His goodness and His miracle-working power. Don't ever doubt God's power. He will do what His Word says He can do. That God is also looking for what other kind of faith? Another aspect.
Friendship.
He's looking for a doubtless faith and a faith that does not
waver,
a faith that does not quit, a persevering faith. You may be believing God a week for your miracle.
Foundation like the rock.
Okay, that's good. A strong faith like the rock. You may have been believing God for a week for your miracle, friend. Keep believing. Don't give up. God, you know, payday with God is not always on Friday. He's not always early, but He's not late. He is just on time with the miracle He has for you. He's looking for a persistent faith. How many know Abraham in the Old Testament? God promised Abraham that He would make him into a great nation. How long did Abraham wait? Now, let me ask you this. How old was Abraham when God made that promise to him? He said, Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation. Your descendants can't even be counted. There'll be so many. He was 75. When was the promised son born through whom this great nation would come? How old was he? He was 100. Abraham waited how many years? 25 years for his miracle. You know, you might have been waiting a month. Abraham waited 25 years. I'm here to tell you today, don't quit, don't give up. For in due season you will reap if you do not faint. If Abraham could do it, friend, you and I could do it. We can continue believing God for that miracle. It's in His hands for your taking. Amen?
Amen.
You know, several years ago, you might have heard this story before. I was in India. It was in March of 2000. And I was doing a crusade, an evangelistic crusade. There was about 250 to 300 people there. And I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was this lady sitting on the very front row. And all at once, she started writhing like a snake, moving up and down and all around, just distracting the people. She was demon-possessed. So in the middle of my sermon, I stopped. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, to come out. I kid you not, within 2 seconds, the devil left her. She sat back up, got right back into my sermon. What caused the power of God to move at that time? Through my life. Speaking to that demon. It was faith. Faith was a switch that caused the power of God to flow through my life. If God can flow through me as a believer in Jesus Christ, friend, He can flow through you as a believer in Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead wants to work through your life. Amen?
Amen.
I was in India so many times where the power of God was made evident, where His miracle-working power for healing was made evident in people's lives. So many different times. I want to give you a personal testimony of my own life. I shared this earlier. I've got a business here in Tulsa. We work on people's homes. And how many know that right now America is kind of in an economic crisis?
Yes.
It's a little tough for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like over the last several weeks, the last month or two, I've just had the supernatural faith in God that it could still be good this year. And, friend, I kid you not, it seems like business has been better this April of 09 than it's been in April of 08. It's faith in God, believing that God can do what His Word says He can do. It's the power of God flowing through my life because I believe that God can do it. Nothing is impossible with God. If He's doing it for me, He can do it for you. All things are possible for those who believe. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. I was in downtown Tulsa back in 93, doing street team ministry with an ORU group called Community Outreach. And about October of 93, actually, we were right here at the downtown post office. We met this 5-foot lady, Native American, came up to her, and she was demon-possessed. She was a little lady, and she had the voice. Like when the demon manifested, it was like the voice of a man. And she started growling. But we began praying over her in the name of Jesus with faith in God. And friend, I kid you not, several demons in that session were cast out. What caused the power of God to flow through us at that time to cast those devils out? It was faith, which was the switch that turned the power on. Amen?
Amen.
God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
God is good. I was substituting for Phil Brown at the Tulsa Dream Center on Monday nights. And this guy came forward. He was having back problems. He came forward in faith. Some major back problems. The altar call, I prayed for him. Within seconds, his back problems left. He was jumping up and down, running around that room. He was so excited. God had healed his back. God had healed his legs. He was able to run and walk again. What caused the power of God to flow in that situation, in that man's life?
He had to believe in faith.
He had faith. That was the switch that caused the dunamis, miraculous power of God to flow through him. If he did it for him, he can do it for you.
Amen.
Here's the key. I said this before. God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion towards him. If you're doing your own thing and God is telling you to do a certain thing, he's not going to bless it because you're living in rebellion. You're living in disobedience. God blesses those who are obedient to him. God brings about miracles to those who are obedient and submissive to him. Those who are in humble standing with him. Amen?
Amen.
You know, and the first thing you've got to do to submit to God is to accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your opportunity to do it for the first time. So that the miracle-working power of God can flow through your life for your miracle, for the conquering of your mountain.